Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Every time I hear that song, I envision that gentleman on the video, and I see his walk, I see his struggle, I see his challenges, I see his story, and it's just amazing that they kind of remind me of the Sanhedrins and how they viewed Jesus. They viewed him as a nobody, but yet he went out to tell everybody about what would make their lives better. And in this case here, to save everybody, he said, he wished that none should perish, that everyone should have everlasting life. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother Dave, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. It is so important that we do this. In this day and age when all the unpredictables are happening, we need to share God's word. We need to impart upon each other his wisdom. We need to gain the understanding and the ability of discernment as life is unfolding. As Pastor Prophet Teresa said, we need the weaponry. And that weaponry is not carnal. Oh, no, it's not the weapons we use as a soldier in the army. It's the weapon of God's word that will allow us to be more victorious because the battle is already won. It's that weaponry that allows us to be able to cast down those thoughts and imagination and any high thing that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Well, we can bring into captivity these thoughts and imagination that governs our behavior to the obedience of Christ. See, the reason people are looking at that man as a nobody, because they're blind. They can't see. They're governed by their outward presentation, their outward way of seeing the world, not looking at the inward that governs our life in its fullness. But we get deceived so quickly because we're conditioned when we come out the womb these days to immediately move into the ideal that what's outside of us is more important than what's growing inside of us, which is the Holy Spirit trying to give us what we need. But as always, I like to start off, for those who have not accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, it's a simple process. It's just basically asking God to come into your life, confessing that you are a sinner and you want to be saved by the grace. You ask for forgiveness and you say, Lord, I turn away from my past life because I thank you for forgiving me of my sins, and I receive you into my heart, my mind, and my soul so that I may go forward and walk with you. This is all you have to do. You understand that Christ, he was born, he lived, he died, and ascended for us. And when you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, that abundant life that he said he would give us, because Satan is trying to kill, steal, and destroy us, that abundant life begins. But as I always like to say, that's the easy part. That's the easy part. It may be a little uncomfortable. We're still in the church, and you have to walk down the aisle to the altar. That might be a little uneasy. But that's the easy part still. It's the work afterwards. But it's so worth his weight in gold. But once you have confessed that to God and you spoke with your mouth and believed in your heart, you are now part of a new kingdom, a true kingdom. I was talking with some people the other day, and they were saying there was a disservice to calling our children kings and queens because it put a false expectation on them that they may not be able to meet. Maybe if you're looking at it from a worldly standpoint, absolutely. But when you begin to walk in the kingdom life, you can start seeing the priesthood. You can start seeing the royalty that God is giving you. But this is not the kind of royalty that, as Jesus would say, not the way we see the world. Not this kind of kingdom here on earth, but a kingdom that's greater and higher. This is what we want to look forward to. So I hope that if anyone who is new has come on, will now have not accepted Christ as personal Lord and Savior, you have done so. But let me pray, because as I was talking to the elder today, I really look forward to being able to do this, because this allows me to mature and grow myself, because I'm one who not only talks, I listen to what I'm saying. And I take it in. The word tells us, decline thy ears that I sing. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those who find it, and health to all our flesh. We want that medicine of God. We want that experience of life with God. So we need to recognize the importance of God's word. And because God's word does not return void, we can go to him in prayer, knowing that God has already set a plan for our life. And as long as we align our mind, will, and emotion to the mind and heart of Christ, God will bless us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy and grace, and forgiveness of our sins. Father God, I know that there's a challenge out here in the world today to want to receive you, to want to walk with you, to want to know more about you. But I'm standing here today, Father God, in prayer, thankful that I have the opportunity to be able to come to you boldly, knowing that I can come in humility to you, Father God, who answers prayer. Father God, there is no reservation in my mind. We used to say, I have no reservation in my military mind. Well, now I have no reservation in my spiritual mind now, because each day I believe that we're growing to develop in the mind, the heart of Christ. I'm praying for everyone on this line and everyone not on it. I'm praying for everyone all across the world, within the countries, the states, the communities, the neighborhoods, the family, and every individual that exists in these entities. I'm praying for them right now, Father God. I'm praying that if those who have not accepted that you as their personal Lord and Savior, that someone will walk up to them and tell them the good news of you. As the song said, go and tell somebody. As your word tells, go into the ends of the world and tell somebody. Somebody's telling somebody as I speak, Father God, about the good news of you. I'm praying for this, God. And I'm praying that they receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. All of the benefits that come with serving a God who bless our water, bless our bread, and takes sickness away from us, Father God, will be upon them, blessing their families and their descendants, Father God. I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that if anyone need healing, when you took those 39 stripes on your back, Father God, we plead the blood right now from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, Father God, that every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system that you designed, Father God, will not only be healed, but will continue to operate in the design purpose that you have for it, Father, that this host that we live in, Father God, will operate accordingly. And, Father God, it will be protected, Father God, from any of the diseases that is floating around in this world. Protected, Father God. And if someone has encountered infliction, it will leave and not return a second time. Father God, I'm standing on these words. These are your words, Father God, that I've read in your book, Father. The word that you sent to heal us and redeem us, your word, the walking word of Jesus Christ, I'm standing on it by faith. Father God, I believe right now, Father, because you send down the mammon that says we can have the windows of heaven blessings, Father God. I'm praying right now that if anyone is in financial distress and struggle, Father God, I thank you that you bless them in a mighty way, that all they can do as they receive is open up their hands and give away because they got so much. They have an abundance because it will be pressed down, shaken together, running over. Father God, men will continue to give to each other's bosom to be a blessing, not a curse. I thank you, Father God. I stand on your word, Father. I thank you for crowning us, putting your crown of your loving kindness and tender mercy upon us. Father God, for those of us who are seasoned, I thank you that you renew our youth like the eagle. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you will turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers, the daughters' hearts to the fathers, and the mothers, Father God, so that their days may be long. Father, we're seeing so much. I was talking to the elder today, and he told me about a crime, Father God, that when I got off the phone, I just shed a tear because our children are lost. But I'm praying right now, Father God, the saints are coming together all over the world to try to help the lost so they would be found. I thank you, Father God. And I thank you as I begin to go forward in this new message that the Holy Spirit imparted upon me, Father God, let every word become a morsel, Father God, that people want to take in and they can savor it, Father God. Take it in and grow on it, Father God. Mature on it, Father God. Let me decrease and you increase. Father God, use me as you see fit. Send me as you see fit. And search my heart, Father God. Put the mighty floodlight on it, Father God. If there's something that's preventing me, Father God, from delivering your word in a mighty way, Father God, I thank you for eradicating it right now, that it may flow freely, Father God. Create in me a sincere heart and renew the right spirit in me every day and never take your Holy Spirit away from me. I thank you for blessing me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God. I just thank you, God. So as I go forward, Father God, this is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing you give us to be a part of your kingdom. I pray that everyone experience it. And, Father, this prayer that I just got through saying, Father, I thank you that the birds will not take it away. It will not fall into the rock and let take root. The thorns will not choke it out, so the cares of life will not choke it out. But, Father, it will produce the 40, 60, 100-fold return because it falls into the good soil. And because you're the vine dresser, Jesus is the vine, and, Father, we are the branches, we will bear the good fruit of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise God, praise God. This is a wonderful, wonderful time to be able to come to God in a way that we can deliver his message to each other. You're on the hearing end, and I'm on the delivering end. But yet we're still delivering in spirit because this is about a spiritual growth, a spiritual development. Praise God. So, you know, as always, I like to give some quotes. So I want to bring them out because I think they're so significant. This one says, if you are complaining, the law of attraction will powerfully bring into your life more situations for you to complain about. If you are listening to someone else who's complaining and focus on that, sympathizing with agreeing within that moment, you are attracting more complaining situations to yourself. We have to be careful what we allow in our ear gates and what comes out of our mouth because, again, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You see, the power of God is beyond our conception. The trouble is that we don't have the power of God in its fullest manifestation because of our infinite thoughts. But as we go on and let God have his way, there is no limit to what our limitless God will do in response to our limitless faith. But you will never get anywhere except you are in the constant pursuit of all the power of God. We have to be diligently seeking God every day. Even if you fall short in sin, if you missed it, you missed it. As we used to say, dust your feet off and get on to the next time. In other words, keep it moving. Don't let it stop you. Don't let the life situations become your life curse. Keep it moving. This is why he provided provision in 1 John 1. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, not us. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Jesus died upon the cross on the tree for us, that we would die to sin and live on to righteousness. By his stripes we're healed. Not just healed physically. A lot of times we think of healing in the physical sense, but in our heart. I was talking to someone yesterday, and the pain that was in her heart was saddening. It was saddening. But God can heal that. But we have to diligently seek him. You see, the purpose of all scriptures is to move us into this wonderful and blessed elevation of faith where we are constantly experiencing the manifestation of God, the life with God, and the power that comes through us by him. And these are all by Smith Wigglesworth. It is necessary that we have a great desire for spiritual gifts. We must thirst after them and convey them earnestly because the gifts are necessary and important that we, by grace of God, having received the gift, may be used for God's glory. We have a purpose. We have a purpose. Sometimes we don't see that, and then we're going to move into other pieces of that in the show. But sometimes we don't see that. We don't see our purpose. But if we wasn't designed for the sake of fluff. We're designed for the sake of serving God and fulfilling his purpose, his plan that he designed for our life. Now, the scripture tells us in Luke 2:52, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He kept increasing. That's a key word. John 3:30 says, we must increase, but I must decrease. As he increased, we decrease. We must strive to continue to decrease in our flesh and increase through the Holy Spirit in him. Colossians 1:10 say, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We want to bear the good fruit, but like any fruit that needs to be cultivated, you have to do your part. It's so important that we do our part to bear the good fruit. You know, if you go out and plant, see an orchard, the people that own these orchards, they do their part to ensure that every year they're producing the good fruit. But we need to be doing it. And then the scripture tells us in Proverbs 13:11, wealth obtained by fraud dwelling, but the one who gathers by labor increase it. See, we have to do our part. You got to go to work. You got to go to work. You remember it says we have to work out our salvation. Too many times we're looking for the easy way. Right now, this I haven't seen before. And I'm 63, so I think I've been around a skip. I know I've been around over 50 years because they say that 18,250 days I've been around. So in those days alone, I haven't calculated 63 yet, but those days alone, I've seen a lot of things, but I haven't seen this before. I haven't seen whether just about any job is posting, we will give you a bonus to come work for us. And in my skip of life, I hadn't seen the post office, the U.S. Post Office, say, you don't even have to take the test. Just come on in. Yet, we got people who don't want to labor. Oh, man, why would I want to go to work when I can get this free money? How did we get to this point? And this is going to end where the free money ain't going to keep coming. Now what people going to do? The opportunity to be able to move and do accordingly by exercising labor is not going to be there anymore. Now the people who may not could even pass the test, for example, with the post office, won't be able to get that job. Laziness is not something that is a part of God. In order for you to want increase, you got to do your due diligence. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all who with unveiled face contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image in ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Ever-increasing glory. Everything we should do should be for the glory of God. I know I'm not an absolute term person, but that should be our objective, to bring as much glory to God. If I have a friend, an elder, who always says to me, she want to make God smile. That should be our goal. That should be our goal. That should be our goal. But I want to share with you, I'm going a different way. This is going to be a two-parter. But I want to share with you a story of a man whose faith and hope worked in the sense that God revealed to this former drug dealer in prison that he would become a pastor. Interesting. You see, Jesus came for the broken and the lost because God loves us all the same. From the addict to the thief and to the porn star, we all have a place in God's heart. And it's true that this truth saved Victor, an infamous drug dealer who turned pastor. Let me tell you the story of Victor. Victor fell into the drug dealing business in his 20s. He ran a major drug operation during the 90s, which he smuggled drugs into Central Asia, where he lived. I lived over there, so I know what that looks like. The job offered plenty of easy money, along with loads of adventure. And best of all, Victor was good at it. He had found his niche. So good, in fact, that Victor's operation kept expanding, increased. But it only takes one bust to ruin everything. And that's exactly what happened to Victor. 6 years later, 1996, Victor's success ended. Authorities caught him with nearly 9 pounds of heroin, which sent him straight to prison. To Victor, it seemed like the end. But really, God was just getting started. God was just getting started. I know that feeling, that fear. I know that feeling, that fear, going to prison for the rest of your life. I remember when the judge was making a decision, I was shaking like Don Knox. That's the first time I ever ate yogurt. I got out of the machine. I was so hungry, you know what it really was. And I was shaking, my hands were shaking, and then next thing I know, the judge had said no contest, and they let me go. I didn't know what that meant. But at the end of the day, that's a mighty fear to think that your life now, where you had freedom, at least seemingly, and now you will be an animal in a cage. Every time I went to jail, I kept thinking, I'm an animal in a cage. I'm an animal in a cage. This ain't what God wanted for me. But I wasn't thinking like, I was thinking like Victor, the spoils of being in the street, if you will, as we would call it. Victor's long sitting behind bars dragged on. His mental state continued to deteriorate until he was suicidal. He said, I felt empty inside and didn't want to live anymore. I did not know how long I would be in jail, he said. And that's when God got a hold of me. Victor's cellmate received the New Testament Gospel of John from his mother as a gift. He offered it to let Victor read it. He refused. But one sleepless night, Victor decided to give it a try. At first, it made no sense, so he gave up. And we've all heard the story. People say the Bible too hard. It's too complex. It don't make sense. I don't understand it. But you got to dig deep. I was one of them. And so he said, words like the word was first and the word was God made no sense to me. What did it mean? I put it away and stopped reading, Victor recalled. But more sleepless nights follow. See, God going to get your attention. So Victor tried again. This time he had read about the eternal life, and he felt God moving. I didn't know about prayer, and I've had many friends. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. 2021, people are saying, I don't know how to pray. Where this is the most free country, this country is the most allowing of free religious freedom to any country around. But people say, I don't know how to pray. Victor was that guy. But I called out to Jesus. You know, I'm not sure that you exist, but I want eternal life, and I want to be born again, he said. I continue reading in the Bible alone in my cell with no Christians around. It was just the book in me, just the book in me. Basic instruction before leaving Earth, the book in me, the Bible. Looking at the drugs, Victor was a changed man. It showed when some fellow's inmate offer him some opportunity to smuggle drugs again, the old Victor would have jumped at this, but the new Victor turned the drugs down. I remember when I came home and my partner said, "Man, what you doing?" I said, "I'm leaving here. I'm leaving this city. I'm leaving this state. Because if I stay here, I already know the end result. And y'all, gonna be 10 of us, you guys are going to be doing the same thing you're doing when I get back." Two of us. One just passed last year. So, again, moving forward, he said, looking at the drugs, I knew that they would drive me insane. Victor recalled, "This is death," I said, and looking at the gospel, I knew that it was life. I made a decision to choose life. I sent the drugs back. That's my favorite word, decision. Many people say, "I made a mistake." I always say, "No, you made a decision of choices, and then when the choices that you decide to follow through on didn't work out, then you want to call it a mistake." Mistakes are unknowing. You're walking down the street, follow an acorn in the middle of the night, you didn't know it, made a mistake. Turn around, knock your coffee off the table, mistake. But in most cases, we make decisions. Victor made that decision. Hallelujah. Being saved doesn't end our troubles on this earth. Comes to the end. It don't make them come to the end. This is what I said. This is the easy part of getting saved. As soon as Victor got some troubling, terrible news, the doctor diagnosed him with a terrible disease, and guessing he had about a year and a half to live. The news should have crushed him, but instead, a joy compounded his fellow inmates filled Victor. Confident in his newfound relationship with Jesus, Victor had no fear of death. Death, where's that thing? He knew it would lead to heaven. So instead of despair, he found hope. Isn't that what God said his plan was? To give us hope and a future. Had hope and a future. Maybe not to be the recipient of longevity on this earth, but he had hope for the real life, the kingdom life, the eternal life. He had hope. You see? And Victor still had work left on this earth to do. But to everyone's amazement, Victor's disease didn't worsen. And he didn't die. In fact, he thrived. Victor knew he remained alive and healthy by God's grace alone. And to thank his almighty creator, he and some fellow inmates started a church within the jail. Hallelujah. The angels celebrated. The group gathered together to worship and pray. Soon Victor began preaching. Victor finished out his sentence and decided to make his transformation a drug dealer turned pastor official. He headed to the Seminary Bible College, and while working on his study, began to share the good news with drug addicts at a rehab center. See, sometimes we can relate to those, as we used to say on the street, game recognize game. See, we can relate to those we come from. See, I have a partner who's a PK, and he says he wasn't necessarily engaged in some of the things that some of the other kids was doing, but still engaged nevertheless in something. But he had that family where he could bring people to his parents' house, and they talk about God. No discredit to my family. That wasn't the subject to be discussed. It was just we went to church on Sunday. We knew of God, not didn't know God. We didn't know him. But that was the nature of the beast because people can't give what they didn't have. Even though my mother grew up in church, but as I go forward to tell the stories, sometimes that can deter you. So by the time I come along in life, she wasn't presenting that way. She was more presenting, and my dad's more about the world. And it had its place too. Because I believe we all go through our journey and we all take turns left or right. And sometimes we have to go a certain way, like I love the story of the Wizard of Oz. We have to go a certain way, maybe call it the yellow brick road, but somebody else may go down the red road, or as in Matrix, you use the red pill or the blue pill. Everybody takes a different road, but God got the plan. Because all things come together to the good of those who love the Lord. As they said, now he continues to share God's life-saving word as a pastor in an underground church in Central Asia where he was selling drugs. Now he's going there and he's telling God's word. God can turn it around. God can turn it around. You see, the moral story is, I believe that we are like a book with many chapters in it, where the first three chapters of the book are beginning, but are also our defining chapters that will make or break us. Well, in Victor's case, his first three chapters appeared to be really interesting, fun, and seemingly everything he wanted. However, as life unfolds, it will bring some storms in our lives which appear to be smooth sailing, but right into the perfect storm. However, God can use any situation to bring us back to shore in order to help us to walk and talk with him. We just got to be willing to allow him to turn us around as Victor did. Let us learn from Victor's story that God always provides a way for us to ever increase in him. We just got to be willing to stop, look, and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying in love. And this takes me right into my show. Again, developing ever-increasing faith with our walk with God, seeing the future in us. You see, people, when I was a young child, I know that where people started wasn't where they would end up, no matter whether they were good, bad, or indifferent in their presentation. You see, it seemed you could never determine how one story would turn out. As I mentioned in past sessions, I believe we are all walking books with many chapters, and the book don't close till we return home to God. However, for this conversation, I will say that if this was a short book, the first three chapters of our lives is the beginning, the development, and the walk, which can give us a glimpse of what direction we will be taking and on our life journey. However, it doesn't necessarily give us a full picture of the end results or what is between birth and death. How when we see people in the adult presentation and in the adult present state, we have the tendency to make our evaluation of who, what, when, where, how people should be, which in my reality, I have to say this is my reality, in my experience, many of us don't know ourselves where we're going to be at. And I can sure, if I sat down as I do in counseling and I listen to people's story through the assessment, the story seems to change along the way. Because there's so many unpredictables that happen. So I'm going to give you a case in point of my life, and hopefully it makes sense. I believe personally that my life was a very colorful one. Anything that I saw on TV, I wanted to do at some point and sometimes, I fully took advantage of the situation and went for it. And if I didn't get the fullness of it, believe me, I taste crime, sex, drugs, alcohol, gangs, parties, and all these categories, and many of the subcategories, I engage them as well. Now, let me say before anyone goes off and negatively judge me and think of me as a terrible person, which you can, but I hope wisdom and the thought that God gives us through this will help you be more willing to get the information and align it with facts before you become a gossip runoff mouth. And end up sinning due to critical judgment and not seeking to exercise mature understanding. We're quick to make judgment. My philosophy is this. I don't judge to criticize, I judge to understand. See, I want you to consider why I'm even sharing this. Because in my life and travel, most people I've met who have turned their life around are not too quick to share much of the negative past. And if they do, they keep it light. And believe me, people, I understand. Because don't nobody want their reputation destroyed. But I don't have a reputation anymore. I don't have it. I let it go. Because there's nothing you can't do in this day and generation that you can say is private. If anybody want to know anything about you, they can pull it up. So what the heck? Because I feel like this. If I die today and I help to turn one human being around, if I help one guy, one gal to be a difference that made a difference in their life because of my story, then it's worth its weight in gold. Because I know that many people think of themselves as they got all together. And I often thought to myself that many people that I encounter, man, they made it. They reached the pinnacle of almost being sinless. And all that they're doing everything that God wants them to do. So me, personally, I always ask the question, how can I match up? How can I be worthy? How can I even come close to what God want me to be? Man, I've done some meth. But for the world, let me clarify that, for the world, just like Victor, I'd be all that in the bag of chips. All that in the bag of chips, because that's the condition that I come from. I come right out the hood. I don't say it to boast, but that's where I grew up. As a matter of fact, we put in my good father's only program, we put up a sign, smash suicide. 48204 is where the predominant kids are killing themselves from 5 to 11. African-American kids killing themselves. Killing themselves. Now, why would a 5-year-old want to kill themselves? The hood is tough. I remember Lou Rawls had a song about dead end street and where he grew up. You have to be tough and strong to survive. So again, when I joined the Army, it was lightweight, because when I got there, half the things to survive I already knew. All these things we get caught up in about racism and abuse from cops and on and on and on, been an experience since I was a kid. And we dealt with it, and we survived. We survived. Maybe not always the appropriate way, but we survived. And see, I'm not entirely sure what the prodigal son did when he went out and wasted his money, but I believe that I did some of that and then some. But let's examine some of the people in the Bible who were somewhat walking the walk, but they were compromised. But yet they seemed to pursue and grow in the walk with God. See, I thought long and hard about what my life was about and how could I serve God. But as I started reading the Bible, see, that's the thing. Once you start reading, you start seeing the story. You start seeing the people. You start understanding the character. You start recognizing their pros and cons. You start recognizing their areas where they're strong and they're weak. No matter whether they hold various roles, status, titles, it didn't matter. They were on their journey, too, and they missed the mark. Hallelujah. So let me share a few. You see, Noah got drunk. This is out of Genesis 9:20-21. Noah, man of soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard, and when he drank some of it with his wine, he became drunk and laid uncovered inside the tent. We would say he got tore up from the floor. And if we saw that man on the street when my favorite song comes on, that he was doing the things in the street, we just call him a drunk. But we don't know his story. We don't know all of Noah's story. But we know something. See, what we're doing, we read the Bible. We're reading people's stories. They reveal something. I noticed that God has allowed us to understand their story, to tell their secrets that we can pull up on the internet in a heartbeat. Tell their wrongs. Who wants to be known as an adulterer? Let me go forward. I don't want to digress. You see, Genesis 8:21 says, "And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living I have done." But let me backtrack. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. They caught me early. They caught me early. I was smoking weed at 13. They caught me early. They caught me early. See, this is why I promote so hard FMA and For Men About Men, because it was men that was promoting this for me. Drinking. I stabbed my first person at 13. Because I was high. I'm sharing this because, people, this is real. This is the real world we live in. I know we want to get people to get on a higher plane, spiritual plane, but there's a real world out there. When young people are shooting a girl in the head and she's videotaping her situation, this is real. And it's our responsibility as people who are growing in Christ to fight this. To fight this. And I'm doing everything I can. I'm taking every second I can in a day to fight this. I know these kids' pain. See, when you're involved in these things, you're looking for something. You're searching for something. All in the wrong places. These kids in gangs are not in gangs because they just want to be gangbangers. They're looking for someone to value them, to help them. When the with the people who got it going on, who, as we say, got out, they forgot about. They forgot about. And then when they get before the people, they speak good. Oh, yeah, we want to change this. We want to do that. But they forgot about. The man said in the song, you forgot about us. We got to change it. Then Jacob was a liar. Genesis 27:6. Jacob was a man with a reputation for deception and lies. And he impersonated his brother Esau in order to trick his elderly father to give him a blessing. Greed, people. They got a show called American Greed. Greed. The things of the world. Somebody not teaching us that these are not the things to hold on to and treasure. I'm not trying to put these people down. I'm not trying to share the negative light. I'm trying to share what is really real and what we're dealing with. Because these people here, they're just characters of us. They're the older characters of us. They're the old image. It's like making a movie when they turn around and made a movie of Star is Born back in the day when, I forgot the actress's name, but back in the 50s they had Julie Garland. And then they turn around and remake it with Barbara Streisand. And then they remake it again with Lady Gaga. You see, these stories were designed for us as God imparted upon the men who received it through the Holy Spirit to help us to grow and help us to know what we need to do. But as my friend always say, you can't heal what you don't reveal. See, they talk about the gay community coming out the closet, but we need to come out the closet. Come out the closet, stop being in the closet just praying. We need to be about the work. Put on your uniform. Moses committed murder. In the course of time, Moses, this is out of Exodus 2:11-15. In the course of time, Moses grew up. Then he went to see his own people and watched them suffering under the forced labor. He saw Hebrews, one of his own people, being beaten by the Egyptian. He looked around, and when he didn't see no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. A murderer. Murder is murder. Intentional, unintentional, it's still murder. It's still murder. But he was a man trying to understand and walk his journey. Then we go on to see, Samson was a womanizer. This is out of Judges 12:21. Rahab was a prostitute in the city of Jericho out of Joshua 21. David had an affair with a murderer. This is out of Samuel 11:1-27. David, a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. From a boy, again, back to that youth. That's why we got to catch our boys early. Our program is about catching them early when their mind is being formed. I mean, we talk about kids now taking a life at 5. We know the personality is already developed by the age of 5 to 7. Depends on the anatomical and anatomical making of the child. What's going on with it? And physiological, I couldn't find the word. Then we have here Peter denying Christ. He walked with Jesus 3 years, yet he would lie. I forget the word deny. Let's call it for what it is. He lied. I don't know him. Straight out, because that's what we would say. Oh, we wouldn't go, oh, you denied me. I said, man, why are you lying? He lied. God wants us to see this. You see, God wants us to see the humanness of these people. Then check it out. Then in Matthew 26:40, his disciples fell asleep while he was praying. They just got through saying, I'll be with you. I wouldn't do nothing but do what you want me to do. And they couldn't even stay awake an hour. Then we got worry and fear. Martha worried about everything. This is out of Luke 10:41. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. One husband to the next. See, she wasn't even with a husband. She was with a man. You see, the nature of sin continues to flow, and I'm not justifying sin. Yes, as I grow and mature, I understand the meaning of hating sin because it's end result. And this is what I understand with God. Now, what I understand is he's teaching me in my walk, my experience, the nature of hating sin. But we got to keep working towards the mark of perfection. Then we look at Paul. Paul, who God allowed to write so much. He was a zealous and relentless persecutor to the people. He even consented to the death of Stephen, who was only trying to talk and defend God, or Christ at that time. Still God, but you know what I mean. And he had many Christian men and women dragged to prison, putting people in prison for what they believed, because it didn't line up with his thinking. And then he even voted that Christian. You see, we see a making of characters. These are external things. Because lately I've been running into this in my walk, you know, people telling me that God is a woman. Well, I don't even get engaged in that conversation. I just smile, so I understand. I do understand. I understand my people's story because of lack of knowledge. I ain't saying I got it all, but I know that God is spirit. We just read that. This ain't a gender thing here, but we get caught up in these things of deception because that's Satan's job. So why do I share these stories in line with my own? Here's a few reasons. I've been considering why people don't want nothing to do with Christianity and religion, or even the new approach of buzzword to religion as spirituality. When we hear the classic line, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Or I believe in God, but see, this brought me to an interesting perspective about how can anyone increase in their faith walk with God if we as people keep judging others in a negative way, not listening, talking, but not trying to understand the people's story so we can help them to increase in their faith walk with God. We need to check ourselves. And I'm not saying that maybe it's just me, but I know it's not because I talk to too many people, and I hear it, and I listen, and if I'm not careful, I get caught up. See, I want to be realistic, because anybody out here who's trying to walk this walk, and I don't know your personal experience, but to walk this walk, we talked about this about freedom. In Christ, there's no condemnation. We want to be free to be ourselves, but to be ourselves in a growing developmental process of understanding how to develop and move towards, if you will, to a spiritual maturity. So we won't deter people. See, Matthew 7:2 says, for the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with that measure you use, it will be measured to you. See, these scriptures I'm learning, we like to quote them. We like to kick God is blessing me to learn a lot of scripture. The more I'm doing this, whoo, I'm getting a lot. But it's never about me to get scriptures just to be able to quote. It's about me being able to pull the life from the word so the people can experience the life and they see it through my walk. They see. See, I was thinking of this when I was praying this morning, and God showed me right off the top in 1 Corinthians 8:13 that the first thing he said was patience. Love is patience. See, in order to understand something, you got to be patient enough to listen. See, couples struggle because they ain't listening. They talking. Listening is the active thing. I hear people say, you know, are you hearing me? Are you hearing? Yeah, I hear the guy out there cutting the grass, but I ain't listening to that. I'm listening to me talk right now. We have to be actively engaged to listen, but that means that we have to exercise patience. But patience in everything. Patience when people get saved, that you work with them. I don't care if they got saved 20 years ago. We have to be patient. Noah took 100-something years to build a boat. God was patient, and he gave the people 100-something years to get on board. God was patient. This is love, people. This is love. But one thing I know about Jesus was he walked up to the fishermen and began to immediately take interest, not in their sin nature, but the potential of their God nature. Considering more who they would become and how they could and would increase in their walk in faith with God. We see that Jesus walked and talked with the men to get to know their story for 3 years. Doing this every day, he was willing to get to know them. The question is, are we taking the time to get to know someone versus know of someone? Most of the time when we judge the people, we don't even know these people. If you notice, the buzzword of Trump ain't coming up no more. But everybody had a judgment about him. Everybody had a judgment. There's so much we got to do. So scripture tells out of Matthew 4:8-22, and Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to be fishers for people. At once they left their net and followed. They were willing. They were willing. You see, it's so important that we be willing. But let me give you a perspective from my research last time. Yes, let me give you a perspective from my research of how people now are being cut off or impeded by Satan's deception. And believe me, he is effective, but he does not want to have anything with God. You see, we live in a culture that's apathetic to religion. In America, most people at least know Jesus, but many don't identify by being Christians. And I'm sure if you talk to a handful of people you know, you will hear them saying they're atheists, agnostic. They don't want nothing to do with God because of their coworkers, neighbors, family, friends, team members who have shared some false information. You see, I'm going to give you a story real fast of a guy named Sam for the name to protect him. See, Sam grew up in a conservative Christian household but drifted away from the church in college for a number of reasons. The biggest was the church history of advanced political agendas under pretense of religion, rampant sex abuse in the Catholic Church, the laws that prevented him from doing his own thing, partying, hanging out, doing what he wanted to do. See, Sam was a smart guy. He knew a lot about Christianity, but he chose not to believe it. He said that God is just how humanity explained to him. We don't understand, or we can't have definite proof that God even exists. See, talking to friends like from Sam talking to his friend, they pushed him deeper and deeper to walking away from his faith. And he used the excuse that it was just too hard to understand how I could walk in faith when people are so inconsistent. So here are a few reasons that's even more extensive to what's happening with why people are not walking in the faith. Parents. Research shows that time and again that the significant and important role that the parents play in religious identity, or we would say spirituality, particularly fathers, home in which only one parent participates in religion or where it is not strong reinforced, are a strong factor in a child eventually decline into non-belief. Education. Going to college has been shown to play a large factor in the rejection of religious belief, being challenged with a new ideal and concept that contradicts religious belief or spiritual belief factors in people becoming deconverting. Other cultures and religions. The experience of encountering people from other cultures and religious belief also contributes to deconversion. Often, these experiences are linked to college. Many people who think and actually differently and act differently can be challenged to a person who have long-held convictions. Life misfortune. The loss of belief is tied to the experience of pain or death in life. Unanswered prayers and typically wide questions surround the experience of suffering and the pain that led to the rejection of religious religious belief. Friends, colleagues, and lovers, relationship, whether work-based, romantic, or other, with people who are not of the same religion or are not religious have also played in people turning away from God. Sex, here's the three main factors, desire, guilt, and homosexuality. Then we look at Satan and hell. Many non-Christians grew up in the Protestant or Catholic household were ingrained with a deep fear of Satan and hell. Well, they should have it. As they grew up, this fear became so overwhelming that they began to resent the aspect of Christianity, which led to the question of their belief. This intensity of the fear can also lead to the need to escape such feelings, which reverts to people turning away from Christianity. Wrongdoing and scandals. A kind of religious friends, colleagues, and acquaintances who act in a way that they encounter religious beliefs that are different from their own, and when they see clergymen who act in immoral ways, they have a strong belief that Christianity is not real, so therefore they take a skeptical position towards Christian faith. You see, the word tells 2 Corinthians 2, uh, uh, 2,
2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So you see, in our calling to be the light to the darker world of skeptics, it is important that we recall the words of Luther, who stated that it is not by our own strength or reason that we come to Jesus or believe him. While we indeed want to see the fruit of faith blossom and grow in lives of the skeptics who we encounter, we need to realize that it is faith born of the Spirit, not of our strength, nor by the reason of the skeptic. Our humble and faithful task is to be diligent in our witnessing effort, knowing that in the end, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. So as I bring next week, I'm going to share some tools that we can build on in discipleship in order to help people to increase in their faith walk. So as I close, I look at the soldier perspective, and I call it, we're only human. Trying to walk our journey and to be all that God intended us and called us to be is not an easy task. It is filled with highs and lows, ups and downs, headaches, disappointments, expectations, letdowns, joy and pain, as maids will say, sunshine and rain. However, after the storm clears and the clouds move, we can look forward to seeing, as Annie would say, the sun coming out tomorrow, S-O-N. That sun is our Lord, who sees the best in us, who sees our potential, not our fault. So much so that God sacrificed his only son that we would get good things from him and even receive a benefit package. However, like anyone who holds authority, he or she expects action from the receiver, which is us. We must continue to stay in the will of God, return like the prodigal son, like Peter, and seek forgiveness, move daily towards repentance, and strive and thrive in working out our salvation, despite the fact that we are only human. You see, in Ephesians 2:10, it tells us, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created a new in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. And always in closing, we want to make sure that if someone came on or somebody walked in the room where you're at and they're not saved, that the provision of Romans 10:9 that tells us we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we all can be saved, we can begin to walk in this kingdom-building life. We can walk in what God intended us to do. We renounce our old ways, as Victor did earlier, and we begin to move into the ways of the future, the hope and the future that God gives us. Praise God. Amen. So again, as I close out, don't forget to check out Kingdom Builder Development Institute, which is KingdomBuilderPlaza@gmail.com. If you have any questions or concerns or any prayer requests, you also contact us at the home office at 313-583-9739. And please sow into the ministry. Please sow into the ministry. A dollar is $1 more than what it had in order to move towards ensuring that God's plan get executed. This is at www.givelify.com, givelify.com. As always, in parting, I'm your host, David. And again, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch the miracles. Amen.
All of us have been prodigal children one time or another. And I tell you, children, it's possible for the Lord to drive you home. But he can drive you home to truth. And he can fix it for you if you trust him.
Shh. Listen. God's trying to tell you something. Y'all think God's trying to tell you something.
Think God.
Think God's trying to tell you something.
for me.
Speak, Lord.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Won't you speak to me?
Speak, Lord.
I'm so blind.
Speak to me.
I was so lost.
Speak, Lord.
Until you spoke to me.
Can't sleep at